again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 223 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years here, the WHKP years since 1946. Ernest and Ernestine Baker first moved to Hendersonville in 1951. They had 21 marvelous years living on Brevard Road before she passed on in October of 1972. You may never have known the Bakers personally, but you certainly were exposed to Ernest's journalistic portraits, which graced the covers of Time magazine for more than 100 issues. Broadcasting is one of the occupations that binds with a commonality of interest, one broadcaster to another, though they've never met, and perhaps have little else in common. I suppose that's the way the child bride and I came to know one of the most delightful and courageous couples ever to live here, Ernest and Ernestine Baker. Ernestine did radio work for a number of years in Putnam County, New York. She was a solidly interesting person to be around, with her interest in crafts, her magazine experience with Harper's Bazaar. But this was only natural for her, being married to the great Ernest Baker, who painted portraits for the covers of Time magazine. These were not photographs, nor snapshots, nor sketches. These were what Ernest called journalistic portraits, as versus academic portraits. In a journalistic portrait, the view of the head and the facial expressions are candid, not posed. The background of a journalistic portrait reflects the subject of interest and position in public life. Back in the early 50s, when we first were invited out for a visit to their home on Brevard Road, accenting the very warm and friendly living area were numerous of Ernest's paintings. There was a large portrait of a heavyset man with a scowl on his face and tousled flaming red hair. The portrait had a mesmerizing quality. Your eyes were just naturally drawn to this scowling face. Ernest noted my fascination and said, "They didn't buy it." "Who didn't buy it?" I responded. "Neither the Union nor his family," I continued to stare. "You do recognize John L. Lewis of the United Mine Workers?" "No," I answered. "I always thought he had coal black hair." "Oh, no, no. That's because the only pictures you'd ever seen of him were in black and white." Ernest said, "My major problem was that the Lewis family was very provincial, and John Lewis's daughter insisted on having her hair slicked down with brilliantine before he was to have his picture made." Ernest said he finally convinced her that his painting was to be natural, not contrived or doctored up. Now, Ernest Baker's contract with Time magazine called for him to paint X number of portraits which would be used on the cover of the magazine, and then the ownership of the painting reverted back to Ernest. Normally, the family or the business associates viewed the original portrait as being priceless and were willing to grab up the ownership of the painting after it had been on the cover of Time, regardless of price. Baker said in the case of John L. Lewis, "Mr. Lewis allowed us how he wasn't going to waste none of his money, his family's hard-earned money, buying a picture of himself. And he said he wasn't going to waste no money of the mine workers to hang one in Union Hall either." Ernest Baker still had the John L. Lewis picture there at his home on Brevard Road. The work of Ernest Hamlin Baker was on exhibit in the Scotland Hotel in the summer of 1955. The pictures were then the feature of a traveling exhibition that toured the nation in 1957. Baker started doing the journalistic portraits for Time in 1939. And over the next two decades, Ernest would paint 390 portraits to be used on the covers of Time magazine, most of them painted in his studio home on Brevard Road. In the very early 1940s, he did one cover featuring the eccentric millionaire Howard Hughes. And for the only time, he did a second portrait of Hughes, used on the Time cover July 19, 1948. Featured by Time in that controversial story about Hughes and the now infamous book by Clifford Irving. But out of all the paintings done by Ernest Baker throughout his life, his pride and joy was a spectacular study featuring his wife Ernestine, which he had worked on for years. Ernest had included pictures of Ernestine when she was just a child and had created miniatures of Ernestine at every age of her life. And with these miniatures providing the border, the featured portrait was of Ernestine when he considered her he considered her to be her most beautiful. She would have been in her early to mid-40s at that time, and she was strikingly beautiful. As adornment, he had interlaced between the miniatures of her photographs all of her favorite things, flowers, leaves, animals. And as each year went by, he would add still some extra little something symbolic of the year just passed. It was a never-finished portrait until her death. In their twilight years, they both suffered crippling arthritis and lived virtually 24 hours a day in specially built wheelchairs. But always, regardless of the pain you knew they were suffering, they were full of life and laughter, and it was a sheer joy to visit them even infrequently. Ernestine was 81 when she died in early October of 1972. Ernest's paintings are now on display in one of the foremost museums of the country. The Baker's most wonderful memories of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave with the job he's loved all his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.